Good afternoon, everybody. Gypsy Mama comes in town today. I like when I see her here, and hear her voice, but I like to get it here too. Y'all just keep me up in prayer. There are a lot of things that that I got going on in the as far as ministry is concerned. So keep me lifted up in your prayers in that area. I mean, one of the things that are taking place, but just keep me in prayer. What I want to discuss today, I'm going to change that. What I don't want to discuss today is something that Yah has required me to do, and his reason for doing so is he's further establishing me. You shut up, Alan. You don't say nothing. I always mess with him when I said it because he is a perk when I feel like I'm throwing up a ball, him to slap it down on me. But I've always had this issue with, don't say nothing. I've always had this issue with my calling and me being transparent, but then at the same time, saying this, but then not meaning it. I'm going to speak something twisted. And when I say I'm speaking something twisted, is because I say it in a way that make you be like, well, what the world? Why would he say it that way? And so I call it twisting. It's just a term I've come up with. It's twisted. Whereas I say what I feel, but then I mean the opposite of what I say. I speak twisted like that sometimes. And so my twisted speech is I don't too much care for my calling. I would prefer that Yah had chosen somebody else to do what I'm doing. All the things that I understand, I wish that someone else had been chosen to understand, to do it, to be called at the magnitude by which I am called because of the burden that's associated with it. Now, what I mean by burden is not something that physically depresses me or something like that. It's just, so when I mean burden, it's another twisted way of communicating. Where I'm burdened from a perspective of being overwhelmed with the awesomeness by which Yah has chosen me to do things at the level that he has done so. And so from that perspective, I admit, that one side of me, just make sure you put your phones on mute, those who have called in, conference call. So those of you who understand to a certain perspective what I'm called to do, and then at the same time, those of you who may not understand it in detail, it's just something I would. It's too overwhelming to be able to face it and look at it from a corner perspective. So one side of me saying, I wish it wasn't me, but then because it's in my nature, I don't know what else to do. I mean, not doing it would be my destruction, And so it's kind of like I would prefer on one side from a senses mindset, the carnal, the flesh, and then on the other side, whereby it's so much in my nature that I don't know how to live doing anything else. And so because of that, you guys can't imagine. And then maybe you can't. It's just another twisted way that I communicate. You can't imagine the hours and the time frame that Yah's dealing with me. It's just, I've been writing all day. I mean, I went up to the building for August, about an hour. But I'm talking about since, what time I dropped you off, baby girl? About 9-ish? Yeah, so from about 9-ish all over until about less than an hour ago, I stopped writing. And so it's like so much stuff is coming and so much understanding is happening that it's like, you know, everyone in my household would tell you, you know, I lay down at 12 because I'm writing all this time, and then I get up at 2 or 3 and I write to daylight. And then stuff just pouring, it's just pouring out, and understanding this stuff is just coming. And there's a reason why it's happening to me now, and it's going to even start happening more and more in days. And what I mean by days, could be weeks, months, whatever, years, whatever. It's going to start happening more and more. So, yeah, again, it's forcing me to do something that I don't want to do. And so, you know, it happens that way with me a lot, especially when you ain't writing nothing. And it's the same way with, you know, with y'all, you know. When it all comes down to it, we understand that, you know, those of us who are kingdom minded, we understand that we're not running anything, and regardless of how we, you know, may feel for whatever reason about things, we still have to do what Yah has called us to do. In this case, things I have to share with you on tonight. And I was, you know, I do weird things, and I call it weird because I don't do your traditional stuff when I get in the presence of Yah. Most of the time when Yah deals with me, I'm in the restroom or in my office, or I like getting the pillow that I sleep on, I just drop it on the floor and kneel down on it, and stuff just comes. Well, before I came out, it was one of those things. He was like, it's time for you to say it. You know, it's time for you to tell it. You talked about it in small portions, but it's time for you to get it in detail to give the congregants an understanding of who their shepherd is, and also to reveal the importance that you are as far as the kingdom is concerned. You know, because y'all ordained each one of you to be a part of the ministry by which He has called me to, you know, to establish for the perspective of the kingdom. And these things are happening to myself. Even things are going to happen to you more and more. And it's because of what I had. You've heard me say quite a bit where Yah is drawing a line in the sand. He is in these days making it clear what belongs to Him. He's pulling down all doctrines, all theories and solutions by which, first of all, we as a nation of Israel have come up with to make things better for us. Black Lives Matter, and we got to create jobs and all these different things that we have come up with as remedies to solve the issues that's going on with us as a people. They're not going to work. There's only one thing that's going to work for us as a people, and that is to turn to our Most High Yah. Nothing else is going to work. You can go try the massacre in Tulsa out, like Wall Street, to show you that it don't matter how far up the totem pole, so to speak, idolatry, how far up the pole we get, we still going to come crumbling down that pole especially when that pole is associated with being in defiance of our Yah. There is only one way out for us as a people. And you can Black Lives Matter all you want to, or we can Black Lives Matter all we want to. We can protest, we can march, we can do all these meetings, we can come together, black folks, white folks, yellow folks, whatever kind of folks you want to we can all come together and sit down and say, let's figure this out. We can vote the right people in, we think. We can do all these things, but nothing is going to change until we turn to our Yah. Nothing's going to change. And so in order for people to understand that things are not going to change, he's raising up his prophets. And we'll go to Amos chapter 3. And I pray, and then we'll start in there, and then we'll move into Revelation chapter 11. Amos 3, and then I'll pray. I'll pray, and then we'll jump in the lesson. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. We thank you for your presence, the gift that you've given us, the responsibility as being members of your kingdom through United Ministries. And we just glorify you for that. We just ask you to give us wisdom and understanding and lead and guide us in all truth always. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. There are things, and things are just flowing out of me, y'all, so if I don't get to the scripture, I just don't. There are reasons why we are lining up with the scriptures concerning even our services. Well, we've left from Sunday service to Sabbath. Oh, and I just love it, man. I'd be in hog heaven. We get through with Sabbath worship, and you got the rest of Sabbath to relax, and then you roll up into Sunday, you ain't got to get up and stuff. Man, I'm just in hog heaven. I get up and be writing. I get up at early and be writing all day Sunday, so I'm in hog heaven, And so all of these things are prerequisites to for Yah to do something, for him to manifest some things. And so each thing, we use was Isaiah 10 and 28 precept up there from precept 9 from Isaiah 28 and 10. I get them mixed up. I see some of the scriptures. I think it's 28 and 10. Precept must be on priest. Let me make sure. Sometimes when you get to looking at them, they all start sounding the same. That just let me know my mind is kind of fried almost. 28 and 10. And so when you look at how Yah deals with us from a perspective of precept upon precept, line upon line, Isaiah 28 and 10, it's a concept by which he dealt with our nation. And that precept on precept, line upon line, verse 11, he said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. It's because our nation was in rebellion. So he spoke to us from a perspective of allowing us to go into captivity with a nation of people that we didn't understand our language. So it was like they were stammering or another tongue. That's what you get in Acts chapter 2. That's the original meaning of tongue. It is us not being able to speak languages of nations. And so the only way that they could communicate with us was to pop us upside the head and say, get over there. And so that's the stammering lips that the scripture is talking about in Isaiah 28. And another tongue where Yah said, okay, I'll speak to you in ways by which you can understand. You want to act like a drunkard, Israel? And then I'm going to have someone to speak to you and come across to you in the same manner by which you act. And so that's what that's about. But when you look at the precepts, it's like Yah is revealing things to us as we adjust and line up with him. The more we adjust and line up with Yah, the more he reveals. The more we understand, the more we move forward into what he's called us to be. Now, with that understanding, there's so many things that's taking place now because we're constantly making adjustments as we understand. As you notice that we understand, we make the transition into what we understand. We started talking about the Sabbath and different things like that, and Yah started leading us to start honoring it and getting away from the traditional Sunday service and things like that. Well, that's a fit up for the next stage of Revelation. Now, Yah is like, okay, you're lining up to things, and since you're lining up to things, I'm now opening up more information. That's why all of a sudden you know, you saw him come around. I'm talking about the flat earth kind of deal. And although we're not through with the thing that Alan had mentioned earlier with the names in Daniel chapter 11, there may be some things that we may discuss. I'm saying may because I'm waiting to see how y'all direct us for Sabbath. And he hadn't quite, you know, pulled the reins on either one yet. And so there are things that you know, we've come to understand concerning how the earth is really made, and there are some things that he may need me to go into more detail on the Sabbath, you know, for the Sabbath service. And, you know, from what I dealt with last week, and then, you know, it left you understanding some things, but even more so this Sabbath we deal with it, or, you know, when we deal with it again. And so these things are coming because we're lining up. We're lining up. We're constantly adjusting as the people of Israel to what Yah has called us to do. And so he's saying, okay, now I see a remnant. And since I see a remnant, I can go ahead and start drawing this line in the sand and making it clear that there is an opinion, that there are two opinions that people are caught between. And Yah is saying, I'm drawing that line and making it clear what belongs to me and what doesn't. And so because of that, you're starting to see things being discussed and revealed in the scripture. You know, that, you know, we've covered information, but it's like Yah said, I take off layers at a time. Well, we understand the issue as far as the earth is concerned, because we start looking at the names and start dealing with the details of the names and bringing things together in history. And Yah's like, okay, now they're studying to show themselves approved. Let me give them more information. And that's what's going on. That's why so much stuff is coming now. And so, we have to just be prepared for more and more information. Our minds will almost explode. That's the twist of way that I talk, because of all the revelation that Yah is unveiling to us now. Our mind, we just gonna be, you know, at awe. And then when he finishes, I'm always just dumbfounded with, okay, why me? Why us? You know. You chose to do this through. So, again, the line is being drawn in the sand. Yah is making it clear of who belongs to him, because people need to be able to make a conscious decision on what is the kingdom and what's not of the kingdom. How can people make a decision about the kingdom if they don't see it? Well, they have to be made to see it by those of us who have been awakened and have positioned ourselves for Yah to deal with us on a daily basis. Okay, now we'll go to Amos chapter 3. And Alan, you know, if you need to jump in anytime, you know, feel free to do so. And you start hearing me more and more calling him by his official title. He's an elder. And there are some other elders that call in. You know, Thurston, you hear guys hear him at times. And so you start hearing me call him more by his title when we're in these type of sittings. You know, we're not sitting. We're not really caught up in the title. I'm not caught up in the mind, you know. It don't bother me if members call me Lon. That's my name. That kind of stuff don't bother me. But, you know, I'm sort of, you know, addressing him by his title more in these type of sittings and things like that. But you hear me say elder, sometimes you hear me say son. I mean, son is personal with me, so I always call him son. So you hear me go back and forth and stuff like that. Sometimes I say Alan, but I'm trying to get away from that in these type of sittings. But, again, Amos 3, we'll start at verse 1, and then we'll move from there if Yah says the same, when he says the same here in the few. Now, Amos 3, verse 1 said, the reason why I started laughing, because I said if, and he was like, oh, I'm saying the same, so to speak, so, like, no, you ain't getting out of this. But Amos 3, verse 1 says, hear the word that Jehovah has spoken against you, children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought you up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Now, when you look at this, y'all, this is something that is, I mean, it's mind-boggling to hear Yah say this from that perspective. So when you look at known, there are a lot of things associated with that. Obviously, it does deal with to know, but to acknowledge, you know, to discern, to discover, a lot of words to understand that's associated with this. But in a nutshell, Yah's saying, you're the only people on the planet that I recognize as mine. I've created all mankind on the earth, but you're my baby, Israel. You're mine. Everything is mine, but you got to understand when I address you, it's personal. It's personal. I've made a personal and intimate, established an intimate relationship with you. And so that's what he means when he said you only, no other nation on the planet. He says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. And when he letting my nation know, he was like, okay, you're the one who, of all people, ought to know better. Because you're the one who I have personally acquainted myself with and given you everything necessary pertaining to goodwill. You are the people who I gave it to. Then you wonder, on the other hand, why you're, as a people, you know, being punished so much. And so verse 2, he said, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, colon. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity. The punishment is in association with the intimacy. To whom much is given, much is required. So Yah is saying, because of the intimacy, the consequences are more strict. The consequences are more fierce, if you can say it that way. Okay, it's one thing, and I just saw this by the Spirit. It's one thing for me to get mad. I'm using the brother-in-law verse. It's one thing for me to get mad at brother-in-law because he came in and accidentally knocked over a piece of a lamp or something, you know, coming through the den area. It's one thing to get mad at him for that, but it's a whole different thing when my daughter comes through and knock it over. Heck, she knows that. She lived here. Since then, she lived in the home, and so because she lived in the home and she's acquainted with it from a personal perspective, I would be more apt to be lenient on my brother-in-law for knocking the same lamp over as I would her, because she has intimate knowledge of that lamp being there. She's passed by it on a daily basis. So if she knock it off, it's because, you know, she's doing something. She knows the heck she's doing. She doesn't got careless. You see what I'm saying? Now, my brother-in-law's doing it, I may be like, no, my brother-in-law, man, it's all right, man. We just get another laugh, man. I know you Jackie called it or something, man. I know you weren't intending to do it. But my daughter's another thing now. Girl, you passed that lamp ever since you've been born, and he's coming through here acting a fool and knocked the lamp over. I did that done, so, you know, I'm on country, boy. He rolls up. I mean, it rides, you know. So that's what Yah is saying. When you see it from that perspective, that's what he's saying to us as Israel. See, he may let a Gentile get away with some things because he didn't deal with them intimately. Okay? But when it comes down to us as a people, he's saying, look, you were the one that I dealt with, and I gave you everything to make you everything that you should be, and then you go off. Yeah, your judgment is just as harsh as it is, you know, as it is the all the stuff that I gave to you. And I like what David says in Romans chapter 11, and we'll just jump there right quick. Romans chapter 11. Here's what our father David said about us as a nation of people. Romans 11, I think it's around verse 5, somewhere up in there. Go ahead, Ellie.
How is it fair after that generation that knew him? I mean, every generation after that, it ain't like they. I mean, technically, when you look at it from a sovereign perspective, they reaped the benefit of that because they was in the loins, if that's how you want to look at it.
Right.
But the reality is they didn't experience that, and but they're getting all the consequences of some other generation.
And see, that's the... But see, you pegged it. You hit it right on the head. When we were in the loins of our father, we benefited from all the things that our father had done. We benefited because when you look at the fact, so I'm going to purpose from this standpoint, if we had not benefited from it, we may all not exist today. So the mere fact that we're here is proof that it was something that our fathers did that caused us to benefit from it. Well, on the other hand, you look at that same perspective as far as disobedience is concerned, we get knocked put upside our head, you know, for the very same consequences, so to speak. And so I can sit here and say that I'm experiencing some things, even from what I was talking about earlier. I'm experiencing some things that came directly from my father down upon me, all because of the obedience of my father. I didn't pray enough to walk in what I walk in. There's nothing that I did, but because I'm a son of my father, I'm benefiting from it on that perspective today. But at the same time, you can look at some consequences that's going on because of what my father's done. That's the perspective. So I want you to be careful by saying it's not fair because we dealing with Yah, you know. I know what you mean. That's a twist the way you communicate this. I know what you mean, you know. But I mean, it is what it is. And so now, and so I'm gonna use the scripture to give it. Where is it? Yeah, it's Romans 11 verse 9. It says, "And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them." David was prophesying concerning that because the blessing was put on our table, so to speak. And then he turned around and said, okay, but because of that being put on our table, and we walked contrary to that, he said, let the very thing that's been put on the table be a snare. You know, let it be something, you know, a snare and a trap. When you look at the word snare, in a nutshell, just looking for some word. Let it be a. When you look at the word snare, it deals with primary words, but I like the word. It says purpose here. And David said, let their table be made a snare, a purpose, and a trap. Now, when you look at the word trap, it's the same thing. It has the exact same meaning as the word snare. So, you look at a snare and a trap, it's talking about the same meaning. It's purpose. So the blessing was put on our table, but at the same time, it all had to do with purpose, either way. It was put on our table as a benefit, and at the same time, it was put on our table as a recompense. When you look at the word recompense, it's the exact same meaning. So when you look at snare, trap, stumbling block, and recompense, they all have the same meaning. In Romans 11, verse 9. And David said, and so I'm going to use the word purpose. And David said, let their table be made a purpose, and a purpose, and a purpose, and a purpose unto thee. So when you look, whatever you look, and when you look at the word colon, it says, let their eyes be darkened. Okay? Let their eyes be darkened because it's in association with that purpose. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see. And bow down their back away. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their backs away. Now, when you look at it from a perspective, everything about it is associated with purpose.
I wonder why they translated it to different words when it's the same word.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why That's why we really have to take the time and deal with those words. So that's in a nutshell. Go ahead if you want to.
I think it would have had more of an effect.
It would have.
If it had used the same word again, again, and again, and again.
It would have. I mean, even just looking at it, like you said, from that perspective, it changed the whole point of view. Wait a minute.
To get you to understand, it's like this going to keep happening
over and over again. Why? Because as long as we're operating in disobedience as a nation, it is always going to be darker. Our senses, our comprehension is always going to be darker so that we can't discern between good and evil. We're always going to be falling after that is unrighteous to a certain perspective, and y'all saying, I'm going to use that as purpose to drive you back to me. Oh, you want to march now? Let me use that as a recompense. Oh, you hollering Black Lives Matter. Let me use that as a stumbling block. Oh, I'm going to keep putting it on your table, and I'm going to keep putting it on your table, and you're going to keep going on and doing all the stuff you're doing and doing it your way until you realize that purpose is going to keep being purpose until you get in that purpose. And y'all is saying, I got time. Man, that's what's going on with us. And time is running out from y'all's perspective, and that's why he's waking up his remnant so that we can get on the same page with him to draw the line in the sand so that people now can understand, oh, man, you mean to tell me God's not going to let me get out of this? Verse 9 again, it says, and David said, our father David said, let their table now. When you look at the word table, I like how it said trapeza. When you look at the word table, it's like a stool, you know. I'm just trying to find some words, a table or a stool. It basically means what it means. It says, let the table be a purpose. Everything that's put on our table, whatever we go through Israel, it all has to do with purpose. Let our table, whatever hits your table, it's for purpose. Whatever we go through each day is for purpose. Whatever is going on is for purpose. Let it be a purpose and a purpose and a purpose and a purpose. Y'all is saying, when that don't get it, I'm going to bring another purpose about. When that don't get it, you may call it a stumbling block. You may call it a snare. You may call it a trap. But y'all say, I call it purpose. Now you understand why I always make the statement, whatever happened to me in life is always for my benefit, because every circumstance, whether good or bad, is designed to bring me to purpose. Bring you to purpose. Bring all of us to purpose. Okay? You got something? All right. And so that's where we look at it now from that perspective. And so when we go back to now Amos chapter 3, when we go back to Amos chapter 3 now, he is dealing with us again in verse 2. He says, you only have I known of all families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Y'all like, I'm not letting you get away with it. I will punish you. And ooh, boy, son, something just came to me now. From the perspective by which we understand from what we just left in Romans chapter 11, was it verse 9? We're to understand that that everything that we're experiencing today is what's been on our table. That purpose, you know, we were the loins of our father, and so that iniquity hit. But it's the visiting part that the scripture points out, and the reason why it hit our table is because we still doing the same stuff as what they did. If we now, as the people of Yah, turn at 2 Chronicles 7:14, Yah be like, that table will stop hitting your table. But that purpose will stop hitting
heaven if you don't know. I mean,
that's why he's waking us up now. And that's why I mentioned that he's drawing the line in the sand and raising up his prophets to now to unveil the truth to the people so that they can have a choice. All this time, we haven't had a choice. We haven't had a true prophet to come up. Now he's raising some. All this time, we've been experiencing the same thing, and the same consequences, the same purpose has been happening over and over. And even there was a time when the scripture said concerning our fathers that there was no prophet in the land. Nobody to unseal the truth. Go ahead, sir.
It's going to have to be some mighty powerful stuff to go, because during that course of time, you know, all these things that cause people to formulate their opinions and their ideologies and their concepts and things. So you can't be a still small voice and expect somebody to hear and adjust to that. You know what I mean? It's got to be something radical from the perspective of throwing something off kilter in order for a person's mind to change. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what he's doing. That's the reason why he has taken us on the courses that we're on. I mean, man, who talks about the earth being the way we discuss? What preachers do you know sit down and take history and that and tie right into the scriptures? We're breaking those barriers whereby it's making people now start to blink and say, wait a minute. Some different is sounding with this here now, you know. That's why he's doing it that way, you know. And so, you know, all of y'all are part of it. You know, this is what he's called us to do. Verse 2 says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Here's what I love about verse 3 now. You know how we've always discussed it, you know. From a religious perspective, now we see it in the trueness that verse 3 is meant to be. He's saying concerning himself and his people. Can we walk together unless we agree? Y'all, like, I'm not going to deal with you, Israel, and you think you're going to do your own thing, and then think you're going to do your own thing, and then think that you're going to be on the same page with me, and I'm going to be pouring out these blessings and doing all these things. He said, the only way we can walk together is except we be in agreement. You have to get on the same page with me. I'm not getting on the same page with you. That's what y'all are saying. We can't walk together unless we agree. Y'all are like, I ain't hearing that about the Black Lives Matter. Your life ain't going to never matter until you get on the same page with me about your life. You may have billion man marches. You may have gazillion man marches across the Forest Gump. And still nothing is going to change until you get on the same page with me and agree with me. You're the only ones that I have known. Can we walk together unless we be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed. Agreed is Yod. You know what that says? It says marriage. That's I'm married to you. We can't walk together unless we're married. You ain't gonna be playing off on me. You gotta walk with me. You gotta be married to me, Israel. You can't now do the religious thing and think we're gonna be in agreement. Can two walk together unless they're married? What he's saying to us. I married you. That's why he said, return to me, old backsliding Israel. Return to me and quit playing the harlot. You're playing off on me. Quit playing the harlot. Return to me. I'm married to you. We gonna walk together. And the only way we can walk together is we have to be married. Israel. Do walk together. When you look at the word walk, it means to carry. To bear, to march, to prosper. Can we prosper? Israel, can you prosper without me being married to you? That's our problem. We're trying to prosper without Yah. Now you understand tough. You understand Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street tried to prosper without Yah. Yeah, they had churches there, but they were building up their own selves. It was another Tower of Babel, and Yah just kind of allowed it to be taken down. Because Israel can't get it no other way than through the Most High. Can two walk together? Can two prosper together, okay? Prosper together unless they're married. That's what Yah is saying. He's saying it from a perspective of how he feels about us and how we should feel about him. And that's why when you get to verse 4, he starts to give you an example to show how these things must be in harmony in order to give us to understand how we must be in harmony in marriage to him for us to prosper this way. So he turns around in verse 4, he said, would a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? You will never see a lion hunting in the jungle and just roaring. That devil laying down on his stomach and he crawling through that bush because he's trying to get one of those antelope or zebras or whatever you want to call it. He's not running up behind, roar, roar. No, he's not doing that. He's laying low and he's trying. Why? Because his roar wouldn't be in agreement with what he's doing. So no lion will go through the jungle roaring without having any prey. Can't hunt like that. That's what Israel doing. Roaring and ain't got no prey. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? He's not going to reveal to all the animals where his den is located unless he got him a big old antelope laying up in there. He getting full on. Can a bird fall in a snare? Can a bird fall in a trap up on the earth where there is no gin or where there is no trap for him? Okay? Can he fall in a trap if there is no new form? Show me one bird who just get caught and ain't got nothing to get caught on. That don't make sense. Bird just standing there. I can't move. I'm trapped. Yeah, I'm falling. I can't get up. Still standing up. I'm falling. I can't get up. What's wrong with that? I'm scared. Eat that bird. I'll be falling. And he can't get up. Make sure they got nothing around his leg. That bird crazy. I don't want to eat crazy. I know that's crazy. Huh? Too late. I heard you. Yeah, it is too late for me, boys. But can a bird fall in a snare up on the earth where there is no gin, where there is no noose, where no noose is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken none at all? Here Mama Coach is hunting for food, and she just go take the trap back to the house and look, I don't know, we got something to eat. I'll be like, son, it's time for us to feed Mama Coach. She thought we got something to eat. Ain't nothing in that trap. That's how, see, it's funny, but that's how foolish we are as a people concerning our Yah.
Right.
We think we can do it all without him. Give my reparations and I'm going to be just fine. We're going to take the reparations, all the billions or whatever, the trillions, whatever they owe us, we take it and we're going to mess it all up, all because we messed up in the head. You know what I'm saying? All you got to do is give a fool some money. He just become a bigger fool. You know, Mom hit that. James Prayer show, boy. Y'all see, he was talking about, you know, black folks got their reparation, boy. People doing some crazy stuff. I was like, they get that rat on the head. People doing crazy stuff. The Cadillac went through the roof on the market because all the black folks buying Cadillacs and cigarettes and all this kind of stuff. Dude pull up beside one dude was talking about it. Man, what you bought this truck? Nah, man, I bought this truck about to load up all those cigarettes, man. We ain't gonna need cigarettes no more. What kind of minds do we have? So if they gave us the stuff without Yah, we get into more trouble. We have more drama. Boy, you talking about drama. Can you imagine all of us pulling up at the park with our Rolls Royces and somebody bagging the one?
We all got our 40 acres of mule,
and got the Rolls Royces at the park, and everybody got their oozes in the back of the Rolls Royce, and somebody having a bag up in the one. Now everybody and their Rolls Royces done got shot up at the park, all because some nut ran in the one. You think we won't do it? We do all that kind of stuff without y'all. And Yah is saying, you cannot succeed unless you are married to me. Israel, get back to your hood.
He's still giving examples now. He says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? You know, during this time, when the trumpet was blown, it was warning to let you know war was coming. Shall there be evil in the city, and Jehovah has not done it? Uh-oh. Jehovah, like, you think it didn't come, and it wasn't me?
It's all you, evil coming, and we're not in agreement, and you got the nerve enough to think all this is happening to you because you just black? That's the craziest thing I ever heard. But that's how we think, because we think we can do it without y'all. So we think the reason why we're down in the street is because we black. No, said the reason y'all said the reason why we're down in the street is because he caused it. She can't tell us that, though, because we got too much pride. So that's why I keep hitting the table. And don't keep hitting the table until all those who refuse to follow y'all is off the table. Then his people going to start seeking him, and we're going to turn from our wicked ways and watch y'all show up as the husband to take care of his wife. I'm glad I put my ring back on. I want to be your spouse, Lord. I want to be married. I've been by myself long enough doing this crazy stuff. I want to be married, you know. Now, verse 7 says, surely, here we go. Surely, and he let me off the hook at least for now, because surely now, verse 7, he said, no, I'm not. Surely now, that's why I said it has to be done, the line has to be drawn in the sand by us who realizing what we're discussing now. Yeah, I said, when you wake up and understand the truth, said, surely now, surely Jehovah Yah will do nothing. We will know where the Antichrist is coming from. The Bible never said we wouldn't know. When we finish with these lessons, when we finish with Daniel chapter 11, we will know exactly where that beast is coming from. It's the exact nature he's coming from. Because Yah will not withhold anything from his prophets. We will not be walking around here guessing. It amazes me how many preachers, one minute it's America, next minute it's Russia, they just guess it because they're not God's prophets. When we get through with Daniel chapter 11, we're going to tell you exactly where he's coming from. Amos 3, verse 7, surely Jehovah Yah will do nothing, but he revealed his secret until his servants, the prophets. That's what he's doing with us. He's revealing to us his secret. And Yah is saying, people need to know what I'm doing, but I'm only going to reveal it through my true prophet. And I will be preachers running around here talking about get your stuff and go get your blessing and come get this oil from Africa and from the pool of Jerusalem and pour it on all your stuff. And you going to, no, he's going to reveal it through prophets. That's going to be able to speak what he speaks because they are married to the Most High.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. You guys think so? Okay. Now we're moving this. I'm going to move through it as quickly as I can. Revelation chapter 11. I have to reveal some things to you. Not a whole lot of things I'm going to discuss in detail because the main portion of the lesson
is what we just covered. And so I'll spend just a few minutes, and he's saying it's okay. I'll spend just a few minutes just to share some things, and I won't deal with a whole lot of things in detail, at least on tonight. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 says, and there was given me a reed. This is John talking. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of Yah, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. And so we'll be looking at this as a confirmation as far as Luke 24, I believe, in 21, when I say, and we'll just go there. I think it's Luke 24, 21, I believe. I always get them mixed up, maybe 21 and 24. Let me go 21 and 24 first. Yeah, Luke 21 and 24, same thing now. Luke 21 and 24 said, I'll go back up to verse 23. Yeah, verse 23. Our Savior is talking here. He says, but warn to them that are with child, because he's warning our nation concerning our captivity in 70 AD when we fled out of Jerusalem into the mountains of Africa. And so he's saying to the women with children, he said, or people with children, he said, warn to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon his people. Then he said, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, when you look at Luke 21 and 24, you can look at Revelation 11, verse 2, and it's mentioning the same thing. It said, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. Now, we know that 42 months is 3.5 years that we discussed in the book, from the book of Daniel. Okay? Then he says this in verse 3. He said, I will kill. It says power here, but it's italicized. You see that you have a good Bible or from the information that we're reading from, especially when you have the Olive Tree book. I think I've even encouraged some of you to get the blue book down on your electronic information and things like that. So they should reveal these if you read from the King James Version of that Bible. And you just click on, especially if you have the Olive Tree Bible, you just click on... help me out, son. You just click on, I think, Bibles or something like that, and then scroll down to King James, and it'll show you in the italicized. So verse 3 says, and I will give, it takes power out, but we know it's power. It says, and I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days. Y'all have me with that's 3.5 years, right? Okay. They shall prophesy 3.5 years. So when you look at what the Antichrist is going to be doing in the last day, when he comes to power, he's not going to just have it easy, because Yah is raising up his prophets, and his prophets are going to be dealing with him. His prophets are going to be dealing with him. So you're going to have that first 3.5 years of peace. Then the last 3.5 is going to be destruction. And so you're going to have them, according to Revelation 13, people taking the mark of the beast. They may, you know, they may not be able to buy or sell without the mark. Well, you're going to have these witnesses who are prophets that's going to be going before this system, this one world order system. They're going to be going before this one world order system, and the Bible tells what they're going to be able to do. It says, verse 3, and I will give power unto these two witnesses. Y'all like, stop now. I'm one of those witnesses. Alright, there you go. I'm one of those witnesses. And he said, I will give power to the two witnesses. I don't know who the other witness is. The other witness know who he is, but He hadn't revealed to us who we are to one another, at least at this point, I don't know. He said, I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 3.5 years clothed in sackcloth. When you look at sackcloth, it's basically a mourning garment. It's a garment, but it's made in the material that shows a sign of grief. And so one of the things that Yah is not allowing me to do at this point is to grow my beard full, because he said keep it shaved as a symbol of your mourning for the nation of Israel. So you got a lot of Israelite brothers who are growing their beards full, and Yah is leading them to do that. But at the same time, he told me to cut yours, just leave the goatee because you're in mourning for the nation. As a prophet, I call you to be in mourning. And I think it was Ezekiel. He told him to do the same thing. And so when you look at that in verse 3, yeah, I'm being bold about it. I'm written in the scripture. I'm one of the witnesses. That's why I see the things that I do. And so he said, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth, mourning clothes. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Okay. Now, when you look at the God of the earth, it says a deity, although it points to Yah, it's something kind of strange going on with that. Although it has a big G, it could either be the or. Verse 5 says, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So basically when you look at it, especially concerning the Savior, Scripture says he will descend with a shout. And so when you look at that fire, it's not like, a dragon fire, so to speak, that will come forth out of the mouth. It is more of a symbol.
I was just going to say, is that like a proclaiming, like whatever they proclaim that's going to happen to that individual is going to happen?
Right. The scripture says in Ephesians 6 that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah, the word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So that thing that we will speak, that will slay like a sword. And like you said, from that perspective, that's why the scripture says that Moses was a powerful speaker, although Moses had issues with his speech. He was a powerful speaker because everything he said, Yah backed him up on it. So when you look at that fire, it is from that perspective when it says, again, verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, then fire, it says fiery, it could be literal or figuratively. And so when you look at it from a certain perspective, the prophet may speak and fire may come down from the heavens. But bottom line, it will be like fire coming out of their mouth because that much authority will be associated with the words that these two witnesses speak during this time frame. Okay. And then it says, and devour their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Well, these two witnesses are going to be dealing with the beast. They're going to be dealing with the system. And the system with all these great armies and all these powers and all these different things, not going to be able to deal with these witnesses for 3.5 years. They're going to cause havoc. Now, verse 6 says, these have power. That's why it says power in the other verses now, because it's associated with power. That's why verse 3 says power being italicized, because it does mean power in verse 6. So when you see it like that, they just try to help you understand. A lot of time it takes it out. To take the effectiveness out of it because they're trying to translate it according to their understanding instead of just, like what Alan said, just call it all purpose instead of saying stumbling block and all these different things. Okay, it says these have power, ability, authority. So the speaking is with authority. The fire is with authority. Same thing. You had something?
I was going to say, I mean, from the context of this scripture, it makes sense why we are dealing with the subject matter that we're dealing with, to understand what we understand, to be able to operate in this in order in the days to come.
So you're saying from a perspective of understanding how the earth operates? I agree. That's the reason why he's bringing us into these different knowledge, because we can't be prophesying and standing for Yah, and we don't understand how his realm, how his heavenly and earthly realm is in order. We can't operate at the level by which he's called us to if we're ignorant by his creation. So I agree fully with you on that. Then it says, verse 6, these have power to shed heaven, okay? We dealt with it, and like I see what Alan talking about, we coming around to it, have power to shed heaven. Well, we don't have power to shed it if we don't understand it. But we understand it now. We're going to get even more understanding of it, okay? Have power to shed heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Okay, and have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with plagues. A lot of the plagues you see that was happening in Egypt, you're gonna be seeing it again coming from the prophets of the last days. Now you're gonna have the scriptures mentioning two here specifically, but you think that you're not coming into this understanding, and when all these things start going down, you're not gonna be able to walk into certain authority. That's what I'm saying. We're not gonna be concerned about, okay, they got the corner market on food and water. Shoot, these prophets, you prophets gonna be hitting rocks and all that, and gonna be getting your water and food and all that out of. Manna gonna be falling from the sky because you gonna understand who you are as the prophets who are married to the Most High. You think y'all gonna let you go through? And you're married to him? He'd be one fire husband if he did. No, but that stuff is going to be on the table of them that's operating in disobedience, who's still running around hollering Black Lives Matter and trying to march and protest and think they got to go to Walmart and get them a gun. We're going to be operating in the supernatural realm. We're going to have the authority of the Most High as the children of Israel, the remnant that's to operate within the law by which Yah has decreed us to operate in as a nation. We don't have a thing to worry about. We don't have to sit around and go start stashing stuff and all that. With this kind of authority, we can walk up in the place and take whatever. You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Who's going to stop somebody with that kind of authority? Have the power to shut up the heavens. Have the power to anybody who comes against them, speak the word of authority, and people are judged and die as a result of that that's coming out of your mouth. Who's going to stand in your way, stop you from going and getting a drink of water? Okay. Again, water turning them into blood and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. As they will. Just whenever you... You know what? I tell you what. It just ain't raining today. I just decided it's not raining. Verse 7, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Two witnesses are going to be killed in the future. I'm one of the witnesses. Going to be killed in the future once that 3.5 years is done with. So when it starts going down, 3.5 years of prophesying, 3.5 years of dealing with that beast, and after that 3.5 years, witness is going to be killed. Well, don't worry about that, because as soon as the witnesses are killed, and then you read on here, shall kill them, verse 7, verse 8, say, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. The land of Jerusalem, or the city of Jerusalem, is going to be so wicked in the future, the Bible is going to call it Sodom. That's how much wickedness is going to be in our holy city. Bible called it Sodom. So it's pointed out clearly that you have Israelites who are going to be in the land of Jerusalem during the end time. So the door has to open for us to go home. At least some of the remnant. Okay? And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Jehovah was crucified. Yehoshua was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Well, out in the street for three and a half days. Just said 3 days, yeah, 3 days, 3.5 days. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice, because them prophets going to be tearing them a new ring.
Oh, I got a question, though. Could it be that's how they got in the lane? It's almost like the whole world being at ransom, and nobody can't do nothing with them. And so
they go where they will.
And they all these things are going down. And so when the beast is seen from the bottom of the pit and make war against them, that's why everybody going to rejoice, because I feel like nobody could do nothing with them.
That is the truth, because that's what the scripture goes on and it kind of points out, I believe it's somewhere in there. Verse 10, and they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. So, yeah, that's true. Then verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from Yah entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Verse 13, and the same hour, this is when the rapture is going to happen. The so-called rapture. I'm just saying rapture, we call it. So I'll change that to gathering. This is when the gathering is going to happen. I want to call it the rapture, from a religious standpoint. As soon as these prophets are called up hither, it is because the gathering of the nation of Israel is taking place. It's the gathering. It said, in the same hour was there a great earthquake. Okay? A great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the Yah of heaven. Israel going to start getting lining up. Israel going to be constantly lining up then. And so when you see that come up hither, that coincide with the gathering. When you see Matthew 24:29-31, that's when the sun and the moon is darkened, the stars fall from heaven, the great earthquake. That all that because the Mashiach is returning. When he returns, that's what the come up hither is. That's why Thessalonians said we'll be gathered together in the clouds. That's the gathering. Christians call it the rapture. Those two witnesses are going to be taken up in that rapture. That's why the scripture says, and then I'll go ahead and close. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, and I'm going to stop after this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep. Remember, the witnesses are laying in the street, dead. Sleep means the same thing. Said, brother, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So when this happens to the witnesses, it's not time to sorrow about it. Because the scripture is letting us know that we're not to, because we understand the end of the story. Okay? Then it says, for if we believe that Yehoshua died and rose again. Even so, them which sleep, which are dead in Yehoshua Mashiach, will Yah bring with him. So when Yah sent the Son to return to gather Israel, all of the saints of the nation of Israel, and all those who understand from the perspective of the true Mashiach will be coming back with him to gather the rest of Israel. This is the gathering of Israel. So when you see it from out with the way that the church talk about, he just going to gather all of us. No, he's coming to gather the nation of Israel. Those who come back with him will be the nation. Okay? Now, verse 14, if we that believe Yehoshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yehoshua will Yah bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of Jehovah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Jehovah shall not prevent them which are asleep, will not go before them. That's why he said to the witnesses, come up hither. Once they come up hither, then those who are alive and remain will be caught up. Okay? Then it says, verse 16, for Jehovah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He speaks in Revelation 13, come up hither, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of Yah, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The witnesses, all the dead saints, will rise first, then those who are alive and remain. Remain means survival. Because we as a nation of Israel will be surviving then. Okay. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. The witnesses are caught up. The rest of the saints are caught up to meet Jehovah in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. That doesn't say we're going to heaven. Because when this happened, the Mashiach, according to the scripture, will land, will sit his foot down on, I believe it's the Mount of Olives, I believe. He's going to the homeland, Israel, Jerusalem. Everybody is caught up and gathered going to the same homeland. That's where we're going to forever be with him, not in heaven. We're being caught up to be put in our homeland. He will gather everybody from the four corners, Isaiah 11. All of the churches we've been covering, he will gather us as a nation supernaturally and place us back in our own land. It is the gathering of the children of Israel, not the gathering of the church. Okay? He said that's good. Any other questions or comments? Verse 18, the wherefore comfort one another with these words. We know the end of the story. But see, there are Christians who are going to be looking for this rapture to take them to heaven, and they got a rude awakening coming. And a lot of Christians are Israelites, and they're going to be wondering why that stuff is still on that table, and they're going to be still dying in the streets, speaking in tongues, and talking about how they love Jesus. We got to marry, get married back to Yah, and leave these idolatrous acts. That's why he's taking us away from Sunday and putting us in the Sabbath worship and all. That's why all these things that happen to us, he's getting a remnant ready for his return. So you be carried, you comfort one another in what you know. Hey, I'm the remnant. I'm privy to the information. I'm the remnant. I don't have a thing to worry about. I'm the remnant. Okay? Any questions or comments? We're good? Okay. You got anything else? All right. Father Yah, we bless you for another lesson that has brought us into another facet of understanding. We ask you to just continue to lead and guide us in all truth. And we bless you in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach. We do pray. Amen. Y'all remember, worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You're dismissed.